And I'm going to go through all that we had just read, but for my text in John 6, I take verses 67 and 68. Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." This was a very significant moment in the witness of the Lord Jesus and in the life and loyalty of his disciples. We know that he often preached to 5,000, 7,000, and often to 1,000 or 2,000 big crowds. And they all flocked and followed to hear him. But after this teaching, which he gave, that we read and we'll read again, after this teaching, everybody decided that they no longer wanted to follow Jesus. So much so did they all go away that there was just the 12 left. And Jesus turned to just 12 out of thousands and said, "Will you also go away?" Don't know how he said it, whether they were just preparing to or not, I don't think so. But will you also go away? With that wonderful answer, "Where better do we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life." Now, what was the problem? Part of the problem was what used to happen in the East. Their language, their descriptive language, was very bright. But mind you, the people who lived there then were used to it. They were Easterners. They were used to it. You've only got to read the Song of Solomon to know how bold and how bright the picture language is in the Bible. And Jesus was using that picture language to try and help people to understand. Now, they didn't understand. They didn't like what they heard. Now, this chapter is about substitutionary atonement. Atonement means that the Lord Jesus did all that was necessary to pay the price for our sins. We are condemned to death as sinners. And all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will die, but not die eternally. And the Lord Jesus paid that price by his death, by his blood, that we, though we die eternally, should not die spiritually. The Lord Jesus Christ came to bear in his own body your sin. My sin. I don't know what your sins are. I do know what my sins are. But he came to bear away on Calvary. And in our case, he did it then, 2,000 years ago, even before we committed the sins, because he knew what was in man and he knew who his sheep. So in verse 47, the Lord Jesus opens up this teaching. Not quite opening up, he said some things before, but he comes to the real point. "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, can you think of anything more wonderful? You'd think that everybody would turn to Christ. When someone said, "He that believeth on me shall have everlasting life." I expect we've all lived long enough to wonder. It seems so easy to us to believe because God gave us the gift. But other people seem to find the simplest thing most difficult to do. And it's because the Holy Spirit hasn't worked in their natural life. For our natural life as we were born is at odds with God. Doesn't want to believe in God. So that when Jesus says, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life," not everybody jumps to it. Not everybody says, what a thrill it is the most important thing that could ever happen to me. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ has everlasting life. I'll jump at it. I want that more than anything. And it was quite the opposite. Even with Jesus teaching, let alone a poor preacher like myself, even with the Lord Jesus preaching, the vast numbers said, we don't want to know. We don't want it. We're going to go away. Jesus carried on with his teaching. They were thinking the things that I've suggested all the while that he was teaching. Now he said, I am that bread of life. Jesus is the bread. He says, I am the bread. Now, bread is the staple diet together with drink. And he says, I am the food which brings spiritual life to somebody. You're natural as you are, and ordinary bread will do. But the bread of life, that will give you spiritual life. I am the one by whom that spiritual life comes. No one else, just me. And then he spoke of their history. They went great on their history, the Jewish listeners. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Now, that was called bread from heaven. All the time they were in the wilderness and couldn't harvest crops, they were fed every day by this manna from heaven. And Jesus says, well, your fathers ate this manna. And where are they today? They're dead. So just eating physical food won't help you. When your generation is gone, you'll go. And the next generation will go. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Now there is a different bread. A different bread that gives spiritual life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. It's myself. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a person may eat of it and not die. So they were thinking, what does he mean? You'll begin to see that unless the Lord opens your eyes, it isn't easy to follow. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So he says it again. I am that living bread, that bread that gives life. And I come from heaven. I came down from heaven. I am the Son of God. And if any man, he couldn't say it more clearly, could he? If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. But he won't if he has nothing else but worldly bread, the bread of the natural life. Nature doesn't lead to heaven. There needs to be a great change. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give, what was it that will make him live forever? Is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Don't you see what the Jews were thinking? They're not suggesting that we're going to be cannibals, are they? Is he? How does he mean to eat of his flesh? The Jews therefore strove among themselves. They argued as they were listening. They looked at one another and raised their fists at the Lord Jesus probably. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They weren't in the right frame of mind to hear what was going to be said either. So Jesus speaks again and perhaps put it another way. Listen carefully, he says, verily. Listen very carefully. Take it in carefully. I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, if you like, he's teasing or provoking the Jews. how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Of course, what Jesus means is that when he shed his blood on the cross, then he made atonement for our sin. He paid the price for our sin. And when we eat his flesh, when we belong to him, if you eat, you take what you eat to be in you as part of you. And if we eat his flesh, we become part of the Lord Jesus, and his perfections, his righteousness is counted to us. It belongs to us, though we're not there yet. But when we die, it will be counted to us and we will have eternal life. But they couldn't make head nor tails of it. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. This is what we do at communion, isn't it? We drink the wine, which represents the blood. We eat the bread, which represents his body, broken for us. As the living Father, God the Father, who's full of life, sustaining the world, as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. But anyone who eats my flesh and my blood, he shall live in the same way, by his dependence upon me and through me to the Father. Now this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not your fathers who ate manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forevermore. And he said these things in the synagogue in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, not only hostile Jews, we don't know how many disciples he had. We know that he, in addition to the 12, probably including them, he sent out 70 to preach. And then we know there were the women who wouldn't have gone preaching, who ministered to him way back in those early days, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he'd cast 7 devils. But those who would have said they were his disciples, just like today, many people say they're Christians, but actually aren't. But many of the people who said that they were his disciples said, this is too much to bear, too much to think about, too much to understand, too complicated. As long as somebody was being made better, as long as somebody was being healed, as long as the message, say like the sowing of the seed, was one they could all understand because they were farmers or whatever, that was okay. But when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, that was beyond it. So even those, all of them it would seem, who followed Jesus, left him. When they'd heard said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And Jesus knew what his disciples were thinking. And he said to them, does this offend you? Does this make your thinking stumble? Supposing I add something else to that. Supposing you see me go up to heaven as I will do on Ascension Day. What will you make of that? It's the Holy Spirit who quickens. Going on in our natural way can't save us. And though we listen to the gospel and we think it sounds nice at first, we're going to turn away because our natural thinking processes won't help us. There has to be the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. In other words, when we read the Bible, when we read the things that Jesus said and all other parts of the Bible, they do give life to those who hear. They have it within them to give eternal life. But he said, there are some of you here who don't believe. And Jesus knew, he said from the beginning, who didn't believe. And even Judas, who would betray him. Jesus knows who believes. Who makes a pretense of believing, but really aren't believers. And he says, it was because of that. Therefore, I said unto you, no man can come unto me, except it were given him of my Father. You can't actually say, I think I'll come to Jesus. Unless the Holy Spirit moves you, it won't happen, or it'll be so lightweight that it won't mean anything and won't continue very long. No man can come unto me, he said, except it were given him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus looked at the 12 and said, well, what about you? Will you also go away? And on behalf of them all, Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What alternative do we have? Who can we turn to? Can we turn to Buddha? Can we turn to Islam, to Muhammad, to Allah? Can we turn to the Hindu gods? Can we turn to humanism or rationalism? Can any of these give us the sure knowledge in our hearts that we have everlasting life? To whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They believed that Jesus, when he spoke the truth, and particularly spoke the truth about our sinful condition, and particularly spoke the truth about the life after death, the eternal life with him forever. And so Peter settled it with the Lord that he and they believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, to which Jesus replies, well, all but one of you, not Judas, but yes, I accept what you say, apart from him. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Who else would you turn to? Is there any other name given among men under heaven that you would turn to? So will you be slow in turning to him anyway? These were people who'd walked with Jesus for getting on for 3 years, I dare say. And they knew who it was. Nothing was going to turn them from that. Even any difficulties or anything they didn't quite understand, they would take Jesus aside privately to teach them. But they were convinced. And if we're not convinced, then we also, at some point in our lives, will go away. And if we go away just as death is coming on, just before we get to the end of life, it would be too late even to reverse that. We must turn to him all our lives long. And not be turned away and believe that he has died to take away our sin and that all that he is belongs to us, is counted to us, and one day we shall inherit it in years to come. Not so difficult, is it? May the Lord bless us and help us.